There is perhaps no medium more powerful than poetry in capturing the horrors and heroism of war. Long before newsreels, movies, and cable TV, poets recorded war's suffering and glory, and they shaped their nation's consciousness and conscience. America's greatest poets have memorialized battles from the Revolutionary era through the present day, among them Ralph Waldo Emerson, who honored revolutionary heroes in his Concord Hymn, read here by award-winning poet Robert Hedin.
By the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled, here once the embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world. The foe long since in silence slept, alike the conqueror silent sleeps, and time the ruined bridge has swept down the dark stream which seaward creeps. On this green bank, by this soft stream, we set today a votive stone, that memory may their deed redeem, while like our sires, our sons are gone. Spirit that made those heroes dare to die and leave their children free, bid time and nature gently spare the shaft we raise to them and thee.
Robert Hedin joins us from member station WCAL in Northfield, Minnesota. He's the editor of Old Glory, a new anthology of American war poetry. That was a beautiful reading. Hello.
Thank you. Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So the poem you just read with that famous line, shot heard round the world, was written 60 years after the battle it talks about. Doesn't that call into question somewhat its authenticity?
Well, I'm not so sure. Most of the really, truly great American war poems were written well after the fact. Very few were ever written directly on the battlefield. And poetry, of course, as I think everyone knows, is a medium of reflection, of rumination. Poets, like the rest of us, need to take time to reflect and to try to give some shape and distance, some texture to an experience that for many was a defining role in their lives.
There must have been poets, though, who did live through the Revolution and recorded it in poetry. How was their work different, and has any of it endured?
Well, Philip Freneau, who is often called the poet laureate of the American Revolution, was a prisoner of war and was in a British prison ship in the New York Harbor. And his poems are very, very authentic. And the immediacy, emotional and otherwise, is very apparent when you read Freneau's work.
Would you like to read a bit of that?
All right. This is from just a few lines from a poem of his called The British Prison Ship. Down to the gloom we took our pensive way. Along the decks the dying captives lay, some struck with madness, some with scurvy pained, and still with putrid fevers most complained. On the hard floors these wasted objects laid, there tossed and tumbled in the dismal shade. There no soft voice their bitter fate bemoaned, and death strode stately while the victims groaned.
Do people not want to hear about things like that? Does the public prefer glory and flag waving to real misery?
Perhaps so. There has been a tradition of war poetry, war as a test of manhood, individuality, just a general test of the human spirit, and it's the tradition is filled with celebrations and exhortations of one sort or another, calls to arms, and it's pretty much gone in American poetry, but it's still very much alive in the film industry and perpetuated by our government and, of course, in other countries.
You've selected another poem, No Man Knows War, by Edwin Rolfe. He fought in the Spanish Civil War of the 1930s on the side of the Republicans against the fascists, so he was a volunteer in another nation's war. Can you tell us a bit about Rolfe before you read this poem?
He indeed was a part of the Abraham Lincoln Battalion, the group of American volunteers who went over to Spain to fight in the Spanish Civil War. And he was later drafted into the U.S. Army in 1943, though he was never in combat. And the poem, No Man Knows War, is speaking in large part to people on the home front. It is a reminder to those who are very distant from the conflict of what war is really like. And I think one of the things that Ralph is trying to do here is to define for himself, and of course for others, what war really is. And he defines it in very stern, unadorned ways.
Let's hear a little bit. Edwin Rolfe, No Man Knows War.
Needless to catalog heroes, no man weighted with rifle, digging with nails in earth, quickens at the name. Hero's a word for peacetime. Battle knows only three realities, enemy, rifle, life. No man knows war or its meaning who has not stumbled from tree to tree, desperate for cover, or dug his face deep in earth, felt the ground pulse with the ear-breaking fall of death. No man knows war who never is crouched in his foxhole, hearing the bullets an inch from his head, nor the zoom of planes like a Ferris wheel strafing the trenches. War is your comrade struck dead beside you, his shared cigarette still alive in your lips.
Have you seen any poetry coming from American soldiers serving in Iraq?
The Great Renaissance, the blossoming period of American war poetry, occurred in World War II. And there was a great proliferation of anti-war poetry during the Vietnam era. From 1991, the Gulf War, to the present war on terrorism, there have been no poems written by soldier poets, anything of substantive quality anyway. There have been songs written and a lot of prose has been written, but I've yet to come across any poems from those two wars written by soldier poets, and I'm not quite sure why. Battlefields tend to create poets, and why no poems have come out of either the Gulf War or the current war on terrorism is rather curious. I suspect it has something to do with the all-volunteer army, and certainly there are a myriad of other reasons.
When you say perhaps it's the all-volunteer army that's led to the dearth of poets, what do you mean?
These are soldiers who may not have gone on to college, have not been introduced to the writing of poetry, who bear to the battlefield a much different kind of background than, say, the poets of World War II, or for that matter, Vietnam.
When also there was a wider conscription, more people had to go.
Exactly.
Robert Hedin, as you compile this collection of American war poetry from the colonial era onward, how did you see the nation's ethos change?
You have to remember that the poetry that came out of the Revolutionary War was the poetry of a country that was just beginning, getting on its feet, and it was trying to create a certain myth to exhort the soldiers to take up the great cause. And the poetry that has been written recently is a much different sensibility. I'm not sure that the poets of the Revolution would understand the views or the general sensibility of the poetry written in this country from the Vietnam War on. The changes are very, very dramatic, not only in style but also in viewpoint. Gone is the notion of the heroic tradition, and in its place lies some pretty sobering depictions of modern war. And no longer do we find these rather inflated portrayals of generals and presidents and that sort of thing.
And to what do you attribute that change?
I think in large part to the arrival of technological weaponry. Somewhere along that 470 mile of barbed wire and trenches that constituted the Western Front in World War I, the heroic tradition died, and it was replaced by a much different sensibility that was shaped rather quickly, actually, and that has persisted up until now.
To close with, do you want to select a poem that might illustrate that change you talk about?
I'm going to pick out a World War II poem. This is by Howard Nemiroff.
The War in the Air. by Howard Nimeroff.
For a saving grace, we didn't see our dead, who rarely bothered coming home to die, but simply stayed away out there in the clean war, the war in the air. Seldom the ghosts came back bearing their tales of hitting the earth, the incompressible sea, but stayed up there in the relative wind, shades fading in the mind, who had no graves but only epitaphs, where never so many spoke for never so few. That was the good war, the war we won, as if there was no death, for goodness sake, with the help of the losers we left out there, in the air, in the empty air.
Robert Hedin is the editor of Old Glory, American War Poems from the Revolutionary War to the War on Terrorism. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate it.
That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jennifer Ludden.